Let's go out and feel everything. If you hold me, I will let you into my dreams. For time is a river rolling into nowhere. We must live while we can, and we drink our cup of laughter. The finer things keep shining through.
Welcome everyone to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are so happy to have on the phone with us today, Doze Hunter. He's a Hastings community member. He is a catalyst, and he would like to just talk about some of the cultural and social issues that are going on in our world and kind of take it down to a smaller level and how they really do impact all of us. It's really nice to chat with you today, Hunter. How are you?
Hello. It's great to chat with you, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. So I know that you are on the Hastings Public Safety Advisory Commission, which is something that you're going to be lending your expertise to, which is just great. But really, we live in this wonderful city of Hastings. I know you have lived here for a long time, seen it change, see it evolve. And we want it to be the best place it can be. And so really, what made you want to be an activist and a catalyst for the city?
I think primarily improve people's lives through their involvement. That is essentially it. How do you improve people's lives? And how do you get people involved in that effort? So that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to make all people feel safe. Because if you don't feel safe, you cannot potentialize. That's really, it's that simple.
And don't you think that when people are involved and feel like they're helping form something or make decisions, that they're going to be much more in the game to be sure that the goal is reached?
Well, I think citizens' investment, not just with their tax dollars, but with their mental energies, their brain power, their intellect, makes for a better city. And that is what I think the goal is. That is the place where we thrive at as a community. But it's also to encourage not just citizens, but their children. How to encourage their children to also think about building a world that they want to live in the coming years. So it's a no-brainer, really, isn't it?
It is. What does citizen involvement mean to you?
Well, you know, civic engagement is really important in order to have a healthy city. And it means that every citizen, if possible, to participate at their greatest ability. And so to give back. And it doesn't mean just give back to government, but give back to each other. We live in a connected world, and that connected world insists that we don't become isolated in order to make a community thrive. And I'm here to foster that.
So you're saying that it doesn't even have to be something formal. It can just be building bridges and trying to stay connected to your neighbors, to people you think might need something.
Absolutely. And I think what's important, it is when I use the word neighbor, I don't think of gender or class or race or culture. I think of a human being that I can connect to. And that's more important than anything else for a community. How do we build a community where not that they're invisible, but they are leveraged to make this thing a thriving place?
You mentioned the word thrive. I know that that's a wonderful organization in Hastings. And you would actually like to go beyond thrive. Tell us what that means.
Well, so in my work, because I was, you know, a member of Thrive for several years, and I think what I realized that the intersectionality of all the systems that operate in a community, I think that is really the most important part. And let me say this. When I use the word intersectionality, I'm talking about the aspect of a community's, you know, social and political identity, and how that, when you combine those things, that you can get different modes and different outcomes based on who you are, and it could be discriminatory, or it could be privilege. And so what I want to be able to do is have people think about the things that I'm going to talk about and how those things interact with each other to have good outcomes, because that's what I'm really after. How do you get good outcomes?
And how do you get good outcomes, please?
So for me, I like to look at a bigger picture, and I like to look at all of those things that are operating. And when I say things, I mean those systems. And it's not just safety, because when I talk safety, people want to know, what are you talking about? Is it just the police? No. It is this intersection of mental health, social justice and equality, affordable housing, healthcare, education. I can go on. You know, employment. Employment is a big driver. Business growth. You can't have employment without business growth. How about climate change? Transportation is a big thing in this community, and I think that's why I think about poverty. How do you eradicate poverty? The other is indigenous people and land. None of this stuff exists without considering where our home has come from, and it comes from the indigenous land. So I think the thing that's really important is to have a bigger picture and an inclusion of all the systems that operate in New York to get to a place where we feel like everyone has been considered.
So let's dig into each of those topics. Let's start with mental health, because I don't think people realize how that can affect some of the other areas that you were talking about.
One of the things that I have been talking about is mental health for a long time, because it can be one of those unseen drivers in people's behavior. And in this community, and you know what's really important is that the city, especially the police department, is looking closer at that. We're tracking issues where, you know, those issues arise in the community. But when a person is having a mental health crisis, it really does change not only that person, but their family and the way they interact with other members of the community. And some of those things, it's hard to explain why. But what it does, it affects their job, it affects their health, it affects how they interact with their own family members, and maybe an issue within the community for the police to get involved with. But the police department in Hastings has done a great job, and they are looking at closer, and they're trying to build a great way to not only understand mental health, but also to provide resources for people who may be having a health issue. And I think that's really important. It's not just to say, I identified it, but also to align resources for that person to get the needed care they need. So that's really what's important.
I know another big focus of yours is education. Tell us how specifically you are looking at that.
There are two aspects for me for this, right? There is the academic system, but there's also this academic, the way that education impacts our world, impacts our youth. And so, you know, the last year, we have seen the misuse of information. Critical thinking is a very big component of education, how you can look at, not only read, but how you can look at issues and situations and use critical thinking. But that's a learned thing, not something that it's innate. For me, education starts really at the school. And I think I'm going to speak from a place where I know well, and that is from a perspective of people of color, or undeserved people, or low-income people. And one of the things that I've learned and have experienced as well, I call it the experience, the conspiracy of low expectations. And that is where educators and people who help serve kids do not see their potential. They set the bar low for them. Oftentimes, kids will try and just barely meet the bar. What I'd like to see is there isn't that element existing in that system of education. So the biggest thing for me is to educate kids, make sure kids can read. You know, I tutor, and I've been tutoring for a while. And one of the things is that even if a kid cannot read, they can learn to read. We need to understand what it is that they need and meet those needs. And they are not all the same. It's not just sitting down sometimes with the kid. There may be some underlying other issues that may be relating to health. And we have to really do a better job at the schools in order to meet the needs of kids. The other big deal I think that's important is accessible and equal education for everyone in our society. We talk those words, but it is clear that's not true. COVID has made it so much more apparent, the disparity. And this is where the intersectionality comes in at, is that if there's economic issues, if there are health issues, if there are technology issues, we've seen that impact kids at home, but it also impacts the school. We saw that the school itself had technology issues, and they still may have. How do we educate kids in this hybrid world? And so I think we need to look deeper and further into the future based on what we experienced over the last year during COVID. So that is vital.
That's been a really tough year, I think, for everybody. But I agree with you. If you don't have the ability to work at home, you know, if it's too noisy, or you really don't have a home that's set up for a place that can quietly watch your Zoom meetings, or let's say you don't have internet, or you know, there's a lot of barriers. How can we as a society help each other out in that situation?
I think government really, it should be the driver. And what I've experienced is that government has given it to corporations to provide internet. And I think in an ideal world that might work, but what we've seen is in a world where there are disparities, you do not get the same access to technologies or even bandwidth. So there are a couple things that I think that I recognize. In the metropolitan community, there are multiple companies. They have all different rates. So, and they have different bandwidth that you can enjoy. If you're or in an economically depressed situation, you may have to take the lowest bandwidth. That is not good for Zoom. That is not good for a lot of different things that you need in your home. And I think, you know, government is responsible for how it set corporations up to service this state with internet access. And so I think there are barriers even for companies that are trying to provide that service, but there are barriers economically, there are barriers geographically, and so if we don't solve those problems, you know, we'll just take this into the future, and that's a big concern for me.
And these are things I think that have probably always been there, but something like a pandemic really peels it back, doesn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. COVID has, again, peeled back all of the disparities. I think about just transportation and getting the jab, right? Getting a vaccination. Initially, there are three centers, Rochester, the Convention Center in Minneapolis, and Duluth. If you are without transportation, it is impossible. And then you talk about technology, getting an appointment.
Right.
It's a nightmare. And if you're poor, you may not be able even to afford, one, the phone, the internet access at your home, or the funds to get to someplace to get the jab. And that can be confounding. I would love to see this born out of the COVID and some of the things we've discovered is how do we make this better?
How do you think Hastings is doing as a community?
You know, I think community members are really the key to changing this. One is access, right? Awareness. And I think, I'm going to say as a catalyst, as a person in the community, is bringing those things to the attention. And I think what my experience has been over the last year from phone calls from friends is that they may not understand that there are individuals in the community that have great access. They may be the one who's experiencing poor access to internet on to these other things. And so I think we need to be able to talk and understand what the possibilities are. But I also need, I think, is that our leaders need to understand what that means in terms of access, not only economically, but technologically, and how do we get to that place where there's this, I'm going to call it a minimum standard for access for every a member of the community.
Well, because as you said, it all grows and builds on each other. You know, if you don't have a good education, you might not be able to get out of poverty. And then, you know, you won't have the kind of job you might want. And it really does all come together, doesn't it? Intersect, as you said.
Absolutely. Everything ties together. It is not singular. And, you know, I think I use the spider web analogy with the, and we can use a lot of different analogies, but essentially the way we're connected, whether or not we like it or will acknowledge it, is that the vibration of that web can change not only a person's life or a company's life, but also government. That vibration can be good or it could be negative. It could impact you negatively. And so I think the key is ensuring that we set some minimal standards. And people don't like that kind of thinking, but if we're all going to thrive, we need a minimum status of health and health care. We need to get rid of that. It's the same for education. We can't allow children to fail. And in this COVID thing, we saw, and I saw friends die from COVID. Well, all you can do is watch. And I don't like that sense of helplessness. And so I think we need to get involved. The issue with children and education is not just the school's responsibility. It's a community responsibility. And we could all jump in to make this better. Unfortunately, you know, it's part of funding, how we fund schools, right? So that's part of it. It's also an issue with how we build curriculum. And one of the things that I think that I've been challenged with is how do we teach real American history and not leave people like me out of American history? Because that is the way the school educational curriculum is built. So how do we do that in a way that makes transparency, honesty about who we are as a people, and then how do we educate people so they can be prepared for the future? That to me is just critical.
Well, I think you're doing a great job today of really educating the public on some of the issues that are there, and that maybe is a good first step. So we really appreciate your time today. We want to thank our guest, Doze Hunter. He is a Hastings community member. He's a catalyst and an activist for change, and we're grateful that you took the time to call in today. Thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.